I could easily make an argument, and this is actually one of my points about hoarding, is that there's a bit of subjectivity involved. Like, one man's hoard is another man's collection, literally, right?
Welcome to the Medical Dads Podcast, a parenting podcast by two dads who happen to be medical doctors. I'm one of your co-hosts, Dr. Stuart Harmon, a pediatric emergency room physician and father of four from Ottawa, Ontario.
I want to be in the podcast.
Daddy, do you know what you're doing?
Can I play a game on your computer?
Daddy, where's mommy?
And I'm your other co-host, Dr. David Hsu, a family doctor from Toronto, Ontario. Welcome aboard. All right, Dr. Harmon, we're back for another episode of Medical Dads. How are you doing over there?
I'm doing great. I'm doing great. This is the episode that we've been saving up for.
I don't know about that, but in our unending quest to deliver a medical dad's education to people about medicine, like to teach people everything they need to know about medicine, we are in season 3 of our show, really trying to find topics that we haven't like gone over before, and we came up with this one, with hoarding.
Well, you know what? I feel like hoarding it. We did an episode on keeping the house clean or something, didn't we? Didn't we do an episode?
Yeah, tidying up.
Tidying up.
I don't know. We've talked about various aspects. We talked about like not storing too many books. Like, what do you do with your old books?
Yeah.
You know, what happens when your in-laws bring a bunch of books that your kids don't want to read to your house?
That's right.
Right? So we kind of have talked around the issue, but I thought, you know, let's just confront this thing head on and let's go at hoarding for real this time.
That's right. That real idea of people just collecting way too much stuff that has no actual value.
Now I like how you use the word collecting, right? Because hoarding is such a pejorative term now, you know? It sounds so vulgar, you know, when you say that you're a hoarder, right? And many people, I'm a collector, right? Much nicer term. In the olden days, that's what we would call it, right? I'm a pack rat.
Right? I think a pack rat's probably the proper colloquial term for being a hoarder. Although collecting in the literature, they make a distinction between somebody who actually is a collector and somebody who is a hoarder. So someone who actually maintains collections tends to, seek out specific items, seek out specific things for their collection, which they then take care of, organize, and usually to some extent or the other put on display. And it's unusual for someone who's just a collector to have their collection interfering with their being able to utilize the space.
Yeah. So, I mean, you're an emergency room physician. I'm a family physician. I'm just going to go on a limb and assume that you have not seen any hoarding emergencies in the emerge ever during your job, but I could be wrong.
I haven't seen anybody come into the pediatric emergency department specifically because of hoarding. I have seen during my training people who've had actual issues because of their hoarding, including when I was a medical student in Kingston, and we would I was with a doctor who would do house calls. I remember going into a house and we had to like shove to get the door to open. We had to go in to see the patient. You had to walk through just stacks and stacks of refuse and items to the point where the patient was having trouble finding items that they needed. You know, to say, oh, okay, where's that prescription that you were given, or where are those medications you were given? It's in here somewhere, but there's so much stuff.
Yeah, I mean, it's an issue that starts off fairly innocuously for a lot of people, right? But over time, things start to pile up and get out of control. And at some point, you get labeled as a hoarder, right? I mean, I feel like so many of us, even our children, have the tendency to not throw things away. Like, that's really what we're talking about, right?
Yeah.
Like, I've experienced this in various levels in my own life, you know, like, I would say that all of us, just like how all people have the tendency to be anxious at times, right? All of us have the tendency at times to stock up on stuff that they don't need, right?
Yes.
And it's a 21st century problem. Like, we have houses, you know, we're making money. So, you know, we buy stuff that we don't need, right? Like, we've talked about kitchen gadgets, right? Stockpiled in the kitchen for generations, right? Like, your mom is trying to give you something. She's the sandwich press that's been there, right? For decades.
Exactly.
Right. But it still has kept it. It's still functional, but it's really useless, right? Like, that type of thing happens all the time. Like, in thinking about this episode, like, I'm going to admit it. I wasn't preparing a lot in advance for this episode, but just this morning, right? I was putting socks away and I had this thing. At the time when I set it up, I was like, this is going to be a smart idea. Because you know how you always have like one or two mismatched socks at the end of your laundry?
Yeah.
Right? Because, you know, you can't find the missing one. So at one point a year or two ago, I was like, you know what? All the mismatched socks, I'm going to put them in this bin. It sits on my dresser, right? And I'll just collect them. And when I see a match, then it'll go back into circulation.
Yeah.
Well, I do find the match sometimes, but over the 2 or 3 years that bin has sat there, I've collected like 45 socks. Like they're like, and they're all singles, right? It's insane, right? And then as I went through the box, I was like, this was just this morning. I was looking at the sock. I'm like, well, that sock actually is a pair. It's in the box because the socks have holes in it.
Okay.
So I don't really want to wear it anymore. But my grandma gave me those socks and my grandma lives in Taiwan. I might not see her again. So I just keep these holed socks as a memory of her. I'm like, I don't even know what I'm thinking. Like my brain has completely gone to mush, right? It's like, this is the type of stuff that starts you with hoarding. Like now I have a sock collection of tattered sock rags, right?
I feel like this whole idea of socks could be a podcast in and of itself. Because
maybe a terrible podcast perhaps, but yes.
Join us for our 5-part series on socks. Well, this idea of having this, the mismatched socks and what to do with that, I think everybody struggles with that to some degree. Everybody who wears socks, who cares about matching them, struggles with that to some degree. And often what it starts off as is, okay, look, I need a pair of socks right now. And I have this one. I don't have the matcher. So you know what? This sock and this one are close enough. I'm just going to wear these socks. You know, I wear boots today. No one's going to see them. I just need to go to the store and back.
No. We never do that. That's what the bin is for. We never wear I never wear unmatched socks.
Okay.
Right? Never. But what I do is like, I've had socks where, I don't know, maybe my right foot puts more pressure on the floor than my left foot. So the right foot wears a hole, right? The left foot is still good. So I throw out the right one, right? And I still have the left one. But I didn't buy those socks as a pair. I bought them in a set of six, right?
Yes.
So now I'm hoping that there'll be another sock that'll pop a hole and then I'll be able to combine the two singles at that point, which never happens, right? So I was looking, that was also in my sock collection today, right? So you're literally right. We could do a whole episode on socks, but I don't think we should.
Well, the idea of the hole, the socks with holes, and I think that's more germane to the topic of sort of hoarding and holding on to things you really shouldn't, because having a mismatched sock and then knowing that, like, oh, somewhere out there must be the other match, and just waiting till they both match up in the same laundry cycle, that's not too abnormal. But this idea of holding onto a sock when you know that that sock has a hole in it, so now I have an actual sock with a hole that I've kept, that is where we're saying, okay, yeah, this is where we got to learn to let things go.
I don't know, man. Who made you the arbiter of sock maintenance, like proper sock wardrobe maintenance, right? I could easily make an argument. And this is actually one of my points about hoarding, is that there's a bit of subjectivity involved. Like one man's hoard is another man's collection, literally,
well,
right?
Yes. I mean, this comes into the definition of hoarding, right? The idea that you're holding on to items that no longer have value. And so for one person, a sock with a hole in it has no value. They're holding on to it for some reason, maybe sentimental reasons, but there is not actual value in the sense that they are never going to use that sock. Whereas somebody else might actually be in a frame of mind that, no, I actually do sew these holes up in these socks. Like I'm not doing it right now, but at the end of the week, I sit down and I actually get up my needle and thread and I darn my socks. And I think that ties into your comment about how hoarding is a 21st century problem.
Yeah, because in the 21st century, the medical dad does not even know how to sew. So I'm looking at my sock thinking, it would be nice if I lived 40 years ago and had this skill, and then I could fix it. You know what? I'll just keep the sock here in case I someday learn how to sew a sock, or I bring it to my mom's house for sock repair. It's just so far-fetched.
If you can suture, if you can put in stitches, you can sew. It's the same.
You haven't seen me suture anything in the last 20 years or so.
Walking around with all these socks covered in skin glue and Steri strips.
So I also thought about, like I think, you know, I'm on this show, I'm always thinking about my parents and, you know, any of these weird tendencies, I can often attribute them to my parents.
Blame it on your
right?
parents.
Because hoarding is just like every other disease in the world. It's genetic. It runs in the family, right? So my mom, for years, kept a stack of old newspapers. But not so in the Chinese newspaper, every Saturday, on top of the regular newspaper, you would get like a special pullout section, right? It would be like it's sort of like a miniature magazine, right? Yeah. And so she had them nicely arranged in a stack. And over time, you know, this is back when I used to live at her house. I'd be like, okay, let me clean this area. Like, what is this stack of like magazines? It's from like 8 years ago. As I try to throw it to the garbage, stop! I haven't read it yet. Right? I haven't read it. I'm waiting to work on it when I have time. Right? So it's this thing. It's like, I wouldn't call her a hoarder, but you know, I've seen my mom's collection of glass jar containers, right? There's an entire room in the basement that's ready for a major pickling expedition.
Yes.
And it's like, I don't know. I feel like in the 21st century, we've created this problem. It's not a major problem for most people, right?
Yeah.
But at the same time, in some people, it gets out of control. Right. Yeah. And that's the fine line.
Yeah, I think there is definitely something to be said for this being somewhat of a spectrum. And just like a drinking problem, you know, how much you're drinking is a problem really starts to depend on, well, how much does that impact your life? Right.
Mm.
Is one drink a week a problem? Is two drinks a week a problem? And, you know, with the hoarding, if your house is gigantic and you have plenty of space, then you could be holding on to just as much refuse as the person in a tiny bungalow next door. But if you can walk around and you're not tripping over stuff, then you've got more room to acquire without having to worry about being a hoarder.
So let's talk a little bit about the medicine part of it, right?
Yeah.
Just so that this is not an hour of just jokes and fun and games. Hoarding is actually a medical diagnosis in 2021, which it was not always the case.
Yes.
Which was not always the case,
yes.
Right? When we went to medical school, hoarding was not a thing. Like, I don't know when you saw that patient, you know, whether the psychiatrist addressed this with you, but it's not an actual thing. But in the later version of like the psychiatric manual, it turned into an actual diagnosis.
So what are the criteria to call it hoarding?
Yeah, that's a good question. What are the criteria to call it hoarding?
Now, I'd have to actually pull out the manual to see their exact wording, but from what I recall, it is when you acquire items to the point of holding on to items that have no value, and when you are distressed by trying to get rid of items, and when the collection of items now turns your living space into space that you can't utilize. I think those are the basic criteria, and then there's other features that go with it to say these are signs that what the person is doing is probably hoarding. So if the person comes into conflict with others who try to get them to clutter or to declutter, then that's like a symptom that the person may have hoarding. People have a tendency to hold on to these items because they perceive or believe that there'll be some future use for this item, that it has no purpose right now, but it will have a purpose later. But then when it's unrealistic or that purpose never comes. Also, people holding on to items because they attribute a large amount of sentimental value to that item. But now when it comes to when it's becoming to the point that it's that every item that they have that they can't get rid of, they've attached some sentimental value, then it's becoming a problem.
Mm-hmm. My problem with this is that sometimes I feel like as a medical establishment, we're in a rush to medicalize everything, right?
Yeah.
If we medicalize it and give it a name, now we can define it, we can treat it, we can prescribe medications for it. If it doesn't have a name, it kind of exists in this Neverland where it might be an illness, but it might not, and we can't really deal with it.
Yes.
But this is one of these things that I feel like, you know, I don't know if we need to medicalize everything. And this is one of those illnesses that kind of sits in that zone for me. You know, like I understand some people buy too much stuff. But I mean, some people make really bad, you know, stock market investments repeatedly.
Yes.
Right? We don't call that a disease. That's just dumb investing. Right? And the person that does that has to live with it. Right? Maybe you could say they're an addict to stock market. But that's not really a diagnosis. Right.
Yeah.
But if the thing you happen to collect is not, you know,
a comic book.
Well, if the thing you happen to collect is not like bad investments, but it's actually just clutter.
Yeah.
Now we give it a name, right? I don't know. This doesn't, I mean, I think hoarding is a problem for people, but I just don't like the idea that we have to turn it into a medical diagnosis for it to become like a verifiable thing.
I would maybe look at it like this. For the purposes of this podcast. So yes, there is hoarding as the medical diagnosis, the medical definition of hoarding, but we're going to think of that as the people who would end up on these TV shows, right? These people who cannot move within their house. Their hoarding is just a manifestation of their larger anxiety or depression or other problem with their life. Mm-hmm.
Right. Which is a relatively rare scenario.
Yeah, that's right. The popularity, which probably peaked when we were in medical school, of shows about hoarders. Mm-hmm. That type of hoarding is actually not that common. I mean, most of our listeners don't need advice about how to deal with that because most of our listeners are not going to be in that situation. Mm-hmm. But then there's hoarding maybe more in the generally used colloquial sense that we talk about hoarding, which is more this idea of, look, people holding on to items that the cost in having that item around the house is actually outweighing any benefit that the item is providing. And I think everybody has some tendencies, well, not everybody, but a lot of us have some tendencies towards that one way or another. And so we should maybe focus more on that aspect of hoarding with the premise that we would all benefit from being able to get rid of clutter. And we all struggle with getting rid of clutter to some degree or another because of things like thinking it's going to be useful later, or having a sentimental attachment to things that we ought not. So we don't want our kids to struggle with that later. Or at the very least, our kids will benefit if we develop healthy habits now for being able to maintain like a clean environment without that type of like pre-hoarding clutter. So if we look at it from that, then we could probably talk about this more in a way
broadly.
Broadly, and that's more applicable.
Sounds good. Now, as far as hoarding goes, I actually was wondering, like, is this a really new diagnosis or like a really new thing that people talk about, or has it been around for ages? And it seems like you've seen someone even when we were in training that had it, but I don't feel like this is something I've read about too much, like going back into 100 years ago, 200 years ago. Like this seems like a relatively new thing. It seems like a byproduct of like eBay and like Craigslist and stuff like
garage
that.
Sales. Well, I think the word hoarding is it's not a new term anymore. It just seems new to us because we're old. But, hoarding definitely was not, nobody used the word hoarding when I was 5, 10 years old. Right? But then somewhere around the late 90s, early 2000s, media attention on the idea of hoarding and these shows we alluded to before about like these reality shows where they go into the house of a hoarder and tear them out of their clutter. Like that became, that just became popular. That became something that is almost a fad to pay attention to that. That probably started around the mid to late 90s, early 2000s, when reality TV in general started to become more and more popular. So I think in that sense, that type of focus on hoarding is new. But 100 years ago, were people holding on to items that they didn't need and collecting and filling up their place and stuff like that? Like you said, there's probably they didn't have the ability to do that the way we do right now.
Well, I found one example in children's literature recently of a hoarder, which it had not occurred to me. But when I read the book, I was recently reading The Hobbit with my daughter.
Yes.
And the whole mission of The Hobbit is that the dwarves need to go back through the mountains and kill Smaug the Dragon, because Smaug the Dragon has taken all their treasure over the years. He's taken all the treasure of all the villages around him and brought it all up into the mountain, right? And he has no use for it. He's just collecting. He has all these, like, you know, all these winnings, so all this gold, all this jewelry.
Yeah.
It's like a fantastic collection, but he's become so protective of it that he's sitting in a cave endlessly guarding this thing. And if even one piece of it is missing, he is aware of it instantly, right? I was like, wow, that actually is like the ultimate villain in that story is a hoarder, right?
Well, if any of my kids grow up to hoard giant piles of gold and treasure, I probably won't be too upset.
But that is the thing. Like ultimately, actually, in the story, the gold and the treasure are worthless to him. He has no real use for it. And a lot of times, just because, like you're saying, the thing is worthless, a lot of times people are hoarding things that are of intrinsic value, right?
Okay.
Like, you know, they're buying things online. some of it's junk, some of it's worth money, right? Yeah. Like a lot of these things aren't cheap. And if you try to sell a lot of these items, there is a resale value for them, yeah. right? So a lot of these so-called collections of things are worth quite a bit. But the issue is, you know, when this whole business of keeping all of this stuff starts to interfere with your life, yeah. it's a problem.
Well, that's where I think the idea of somebody saying, I love hockey jerseys or something like that as intrinsic value.
There's nothing wrong with that. Hockey jerseys are great.
But if a person is saying, yeah, I have a specific jersey in mind. I've been reading about this jersey online. I've wanted this. I've went out. I sought it. I got it. I brought it home. I got my jersey and I'm not throwing it out. That person's not likely to run into a problem. The person who runs into a problem is a person who any jersey they see, we're nowhere where it comes from. They take it, they collect it. You have a jersey and you're like, ah, this jersey is useless. I'm throwing it away. The person's like, you can't throw that out. It's a jersey. I'll take it off of you. That's the person who they don't spend any time with all these like copious jerseys stuffed under the bed, all these places, using them, admiring them or anything like that. And if they disappeared, the person wouldn't notice. But they just have this emotional distress when somebody tries to toss it in the garbage. That's where you're saying, okay, that's the habit we're trying to avoid.
I think you're referencing once again those books that came to your house from your in-laws that when someone else tried to throw them out, suddenly they had to drive all the way across town and collect it again.
Listeners can go back and dig through the old episodes to hear more on that story. But yeah.
It's when you're holding on to stuff and it's taking on a disproportionate, you know, amount of importance in your life. Yeah. But the problem is it's hard to measure that disproportion. I've seen this in my office. I've had patients, and usually it's not the patient themselves that comes in with the hoarding issue. It's like a family member. It's like, my family member is hoarding, right? Yeah. And then when you talk to the patient about it, they're like, it's like my mom. I intend to read those newspapers at some point.
That's right.
What's the big deal?
Which is fine if the newspapers are not getting in the way or posing a fire hazard. But that's where you'd say, no, I don't need to, like, get my mom to go into therapy so she'll throw out her newspapers. But it is maybe more to say, what sort of things can I be saying or discussions can I be having with my kids or principles I set upon, like impress upon my children so that when the time comes, they can distinguish between like, yeah, this is worth holding on to. I will actually read those versus like, okay, yeah, this is just junk. And now you would be happier if you actually could let go of that and have your space back.
So do you have, you have four kids.
Yeah.
Because let's like you said, we should talk about hoarding as a broader thing, not about the specific, you know, Dr. Phil, you know, television 4:30 in the afternoon version of hoarding, but just a general idea of hoarding and keeping too much stuff. You have four kids. They're at different ages now. I have two kids. My kids, I'll tell you, intrinsically, like as they're born and their default state is if someone gives them something or they have something they like, they are not going to part with this item,
yeah.
right? And most of those items, when I look at them, have no intrinsic value,
yeah.
right? Like they'll be kneading like a little piece of clay, right, into a ball.
Yeah.
And then that ball now takes on some sort of importance. And if I step on it or throw it in the garbage, they're like, what happened to my little piece of clay? That's my collection.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Like that stuff's always happening with kids. It seems like by default, they want to keep the stuff that they've been given.
Yeah.
Right? So now we have to do this thing where we have to teach them, no, that stuff you do not keep. Or no, that stuff just magically disappears while you're asleep at night. Right? If you're not thinking about it.
Well, certainly when I think of my kids, all of them, if they get something or you offer them something for free, they're excited about it and they'll take it to start with. You know, I've really tried to impart upon my children the principle that if there's something that you can get for free, then you should take it. But then,
which is step one in how to raise a good hoarder.
But then the second part of it then is when is it time to get rid of the item? When is it okay? Yeah, now you've had it. You've done whatever you're going to do with it. Now we need to get rid of it. And I definitely see just personality differences between my kids. One of them, I can say, definitely likes the familiarity of things not changing. And so in that sense, if there is an item that's around the house or that's somewhere that she recognizes, when we go to try to get rid of it, she struggles with it. She struggles with you getting rid of stuff to the point where even one of my other kids was getting rid of, he was just cleaning his room and saying like, okay, yeah, I want more space in my room. I want to be able to do more stuff with the space in my room. And right now I got a few things in here that are big that I don't use. So he had like a toy, sort of like a parking garage for Hot Wheels, but not an actual Hot Wheels brand parking garage. So it broke and went into disrepair faster than your typical name brand toy. Anyway, he'd had it for a while. Now he was getting rid of it. And then my other kid saw him getting rid of it, and that was causing her distress. That she was saying like, no, don't throw it away. I'll take it. I want it. And so that's the one where we had to work on a bit to sort of get across the idea that, you know, if you're not actually using it and it's just taking up space, then you're having less fun than you would have if that wasn't there. And it hasn't been easy, but we can talk more about different strategies to get kids used to the idea that like you got to get rid of some stuff eventually. But yeah, I just am highlighting that there's definitely a difference the way my kids feel about stuff. They're not all just default because they're children. They want to hoard everything. There's varying degrees to which they have distress about getting rid of stuff.
Right. What kind of stuff did you do to work with her on it? Like every week, like we're going to throw out 5 items from your room, right? You get to pick them. Like, well, what is your actual process for working on this?
A little bit more about saying like, okay, you got this thing, but we're not going to hold on to that forever. All right. That's only going to be here for a little time. So especially things like you described, like the little ball of clay that they make and stuff like that.
Filth, basically filth. Yeah.
You know, that slime when they get those things, right from the beginning saying like, okay, yeah, we're going to keep that for about 2 weeks. And if you want to take a picture of it or draw a picture of it, great. But, you know, when we're done with that, we're going to be getting rid of that.
I like how you mentioned the taking a picture thing, because there's this whole other kind of hoarding that exists now where your iPhone becomes like you're hoarding photos of all the items that you threw out, right? Which is also absurd.
Yeah, I think we did touch on this too on one of our previous podcasts, but people take so many pictures right now that most certainly if you looked at all the pictures that you've stored on your iPhone and computer since you first had a phone that could take pictures. And you've probably gone through a few of those phones by now. So if you look at the entire archive of photos, if you spent 5 minutes looking at every photo, it would take about 5 years, right? At least. Some people have more photos than they could look at.
You do not look at all the photos as a human being. But don't worry. AI is tracking everything about you through those photos, right? It knows what you like. It knows what you wear. It knows how old you are. It knows who your friends are. So you're being watched.
Excellent. Excellent. So got artificial intelligence losing its mind, being like, no, please, no more pictures of the school crafts. I can't take another look at another macaroni picture frame.
I don't know. We definitely there's this aspect of it where all parts of hoarding are facilitated by technology. Like we talk about how great technology is, but technology in many ways really enables hoarding. It's not even just the photos. It enables the shopping of frivolous items. Like you can shop endlessly now, right? You can, at the end of the day, you sit on eBay at midnight, right? Yeah. You know, buying stuff. Like this 20 or 30 years ago, you could not do that, right?
Yeah.
And things are delivered to your door, right? There's a service called Amazon Prime that delivers things to your door the next day or the same day that you order it, right?
Yeah.
Like, and most of the stuff that we're collecting is useless, right? It can't be that useful, right? Like there's only so much time you have in a day to use useful things, right? Our lives aren't that much longer than the people that lived before us, but we have so much more stuff.
I feel like in the old days, before the large-scale manufacture of cheap goods, people needed more of a mindset to hold on to things. When stuff couldn't be easily replaced or bought at some dollar store or Walmart, you had to reuse items, repair items, repurpose items. Something like a pair of shoes would be held onto for a long time. You'd take them to the shoe repair guy, as opposed to now where you would just buy another pair and another pair, buy more pairs than you need, and then now you're holding on to all these shoes that you don't wear.
Right. Now, I got to tell you, when I was a kid, I had a collection of like sports cards, like, you know, and this was the rage, like when I was in like first, second grade, right? Everyone was collecting hockey cards and baseball cards. And my parents didn't buy me that many cards. Like I had to like really like, you know, work up the nerve to like ask my dad, you know, when he's going to buy the newspaper on Saturday, just pick me up a pack of cards. And if I was really good, 35-cent pack of OPC bubblegum hockey cards coming my way, yeah. right? And that thing was precious, right? It was hard to obtain, like, in a season. Like, there were guys in my class that came to school with, like, a thick stack, you know, like 300 cards, 500 cards. In a season, I might be lucky if I got my dad to buy three packs, like 35 cents times three, like a dollar,
yeah.
right? So I'd have, like, 20 cards, right, maybe? Those things were so hard for me to obtain that I have kept them to this day in my room at home, yeah. in my parents' house,
yeah.
right? But not only did I keep the cards, I kept the actual wrappers that they came
yes.
in. The only thing I threw out was the bubble gum. Like, I have these wrappers. I'm sure they're worth nothing, right?
Yeah.
But at the same time, I can't really bear to part it. It's been there for 30 years, right? I feel like we got to keep it the rest of the way now. We got to go all the way with this stuff. I don't feel like it's affecting my life, but it's not the healthiest habit to have in the world, certainly.
Yeah, I'm the same way. Between me and my wife, I would be definitely more the one with the hoarder tendencies, and she'd be very much in the opposite direction.
Really?
But yeah, I
mean, really, because you sounded like such an anti-hoarder all the way through this episode up until now.
Only in the sense that I understand completely how the mindset of how we fall into the trap, and I understand that it is a trap and that there's value in being able to get rid of stuff. But that's through personal experience of saying, like, okay, yeah, I've got too much stuff and it's painful, but I have to get rid of some of that stuff.
So now it must be told, what is an item that you would rank at the top or near the top of your list of things that you've been hoarding that really you know better than? Like, they should be gone, but you haven't been able to do it.
Okay, hold on now. Something that should actually be gone. I've got a few broken toys in the house that these should be gone. From the point of view, these aren't even my toys from my childhood with all this sentimental value. This is toys that my children got and broke. And I have it here with the intention of fixing this toy. And now it's been here for so long that even if I fixed it, the original child who owned it would be like, oh, well, okay, what am I supposed to do with that now?
That does happen to dads, I find.
Yeah.
Like, the kids have lost interest in a toy, but it's the dad that cannot bear to part with the item, even though the dad does not play with the item.
Look at this. So I got holding up to the camera for Dr. Shu to see is Buzz Lightyear with one foot. A 1 foot Buzz Lightyear. And the foot that he does have, you can see I repaired that foot with glue. That foot broke off. I repaired it with glue. And then Buzz Lightyear was back in action, back in circulation for like a good few months before my kid broke the other foot.
Now, I'm assuming you have the other foot, or are you just waiting for the other foot to materialize?
The other foot is, part of it is in the drawer underneath the desk that I'm sitting at now. And another piece of it is upstairs in the drawer in my bedroom. And it's one of those, every time I get to the bottom of my laundry, to the bottom of that drawer in my bedroom, I see that other little screw that goes in the foot. I'm like, oh yeah, yeah, I really got to get around to fixing that Buzz Lightyear. And this Buzz Lightyear, he's been like that for about 2 years now. This was my son's Buzz Lightyear. And now if I do fix him up, maybe my youngest daughter will be the one to actually play with him.
Now, I've been hoarding my kids' school material. Right. They've been in school a couple of years. That's not that long.
Yeah.
Right. But I have all their kindergarten stuff. I have all the JK, all SK. I have the preschool stuff. I'm envisioning at some point they're going to want to take a stroll down memory lane and open this stuff up and look at it for a morning or something. Like, I don't know why I'm keeping it. Right. Like, I know the material should be ingrained in their brain. They were learning this stuff for a reason. Yet I cannot part with it. I have box after box. Like, it's actually like I took my hoard of diaper boxes, you know, like the Pampers green boxes, which are very good for storing useless material, and just started dumping their old schoolwork in it, right? And now I have a stack of that. So that's one of my famous hoards. The other one is the kids' clothes hoard, which is just absurd, right? Because that one, you know, we actively try to pare down. We know it's out of control. We're like, you know, give some of these kids clothes to relatives, give some of these clothes to other people who are having babies. But then we're like, oh, this one, they was so cute when they wore this. I want to keep some, right? And that keep bin too is growing larger and larger.
Yes.
So I'm envisioning within a few years, my entire furnace room is just going to be boxes of old clothes. Like, I don't know what to do with this.
The clothes are hard because I see the clothes and I'm thinking, oh man, I remember when my oldest kid like fit into that outfit.
Can't believe
she doesn't fit in that anymore. I got some outfits that's like, this has been through four kids so far now. But like the last one really is straining the seams to put it on, so it's got to admit it's going to go. But we've been pretty good at ultimately getting rid of those clothes, or at least being willing to part with those clothes. I've kept a handful of ones that I thought were particularly special, that maybe one day their kid could wear it and I could take a picture and be like, I wore this, you wore this, and now your kid wore this. I have a Captain Canucks t-shirt somewhere for one of the grandkids one day.
Now, as a comic book guy, I know you have a hoard of comic books somewhere.
Yes.
Right? And I do too. Most of it is crap. Like, what do we do with this stuff as we get older? Like, is it actually, like, I have actually probably kept almost every single comic book I ever obtained in my life. Yeah. I don't think I've ever thrown any out. Like, again, it's just like the baseball cards. It was hard to obtain, so it's been hard to get rid of. I bought some comic books that were torn up. I didn't realize until the moment I opened the bag at home that the guy at the flea market was ripping me off. And I kept them. They're still in the bag, right? They've been read. They're worthless. They're less than worthless, right? Like, is the hobby of comic book collecting, card collecting, are these hobbies in a way encouraging this nonsense? Like, we're keeping stuff that's completely useless for decades.
I don't think so, because I think the value in those actually is a tangible value for the comic book collector. Now that's in the context that, you know, we're these collectors who we keep these comics in some kind of good condition. We keep them like in a bin or a box or somewhere where they're not just getting stepped on, ripped up every day. You have them in stacks that block your kitchen. You got to pile them in the bathtub so you can't take a bath anymore. And they're deteriorating. That's different. But I think comics and most other type of collections really fall more into that category of, this is an object that you actually take care of, that you have some level of like a pride or connection in, and that does not like clutter in the sense that you're tripping over it or it stops you from being able to utilize a room.
So there's the definition. There's the medical dad's definition of hoarding. If you are curating your collection, it is not by definition a hoard.
That's right. But if you are truly saying like, yeah, you know what, my wife keeps trying to say that we could renovate this basement if only I would get rid of like these piles and piles of comics. And I never read them. And I don't ever intend to read them, and I don't look at them anymore. Then you probably should be talking about like, yeah, maybe I would be happier if I actually got rid of this stuff.
I don't know. I got to say, like, some, even now, like, I buy books, and some of the books I read a bit, and I'm like, I don't like it. There's no way I'm going to go through it. Or, you know, I recently bought, this is a topic for another episode, I bought all these Shang-Chi comics, right? Because of the hype from the movie. I read part of like Shang-Chi Epic Collection number 2. And I was like, this is kind of degrading for Asians and really kind of not worth my time. Yeah. But it did cost me $45, right? So for me to part with that thing would be to release $45 and take the $45 loss, which I'm reluctant to do so. So it's just become another part of the collection. It's just sitting there now.
Well, there are ways you can take some of that stuff and try to make some value out of them. You know, if the reason for holding on to it is just that you put the money into it, then you know, sell that online, sell that on eBay. You know, even if you get $10 for it, you're $10 richer than you were having that sitting in the basement. So that's the thing that you can get rid of. But, you know, getting rid of my first 10 comic books that I'd ever collected, even though one of them was a comic book talking about the danger symbols on the products around your house, you know, those comics, that has some value to me. You know, when I'm dead, my kids can burn it. But for me, that has some value.
This isn't really a hoarding thing, but a few years ago, my dad was cleaning his house and he passed me his dad's razor, right? Okay. So it's my grandfather's razor. It's like an electric razor. It's got like the three heads, and the item itself must be from the 1970s, I'm going to say, right? And of course, I'm not going to use this old razor, right? I can't throw it away. It's literally the one thing that I own that was my grandfather's, right? And so it just becomes another one of these items in our house. Like, am I going to give it to my son? Is my son destined to have to keep this in his closet forever? It is ultimately really just junk. Right?
Well, yeah. And that's where you got to decide some of these items. Am I going to let this be junk, or am I going to do something with this? So that might be a good example of something where you'd say, You know, it's just a rusty old razor that's just sitting in a box that then I have to pawn on my kid later, who now he has to struggle with what to do with it. It's like, okay, well, maybe there's a way to actually put this, like get a piece of wood, varnish it, stick that on it, and you can put it on like your blank wall behind you.
I thought you were going to say we're going to throw it in the garbage. We're not going to decorate our house with an old man's razor.
I mean, if looking at that razor actually gives you some sense of like, I feel a connection to my grandfather through this razor, then yeah, mount it and put it on your wall. If you look at that razor, you're like, this is just a burden. Toss it, throw it in the garbage. You'll be doing everybody a favor.
I do try to rationalize it in my brain that the most valuable thing you own is your land, is your property, right?
I thought you were going to say your body.
Well, you don't own your body in that sense, in a monetary sense.
You rent it.
But you know, like a square foot in your basement, that has value, right? If you want to buy another house and you want to collect a house of certain square footage, right now you have a certain square footage, but it's being occupied by a box of old comic books, right? That box is renting out, you know, a room from you, right? Are you getting any value for that? You could be doing something else with that room, right?
That's a good way to look at it.
So, I mean, that's my way of thinking about it these days. That seems to help a little bit. You got to really remember that space is worth something, right? As you trip over your children's toys and try to walk your way up the stairs.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, circling back to the socks and the socks with the hole in it, you know what my wife will do if she sees a sock with a hole in it? She'll grab it by the hole and she'll rip it so that the hole is gigantic. So just to make sure that nobody tries to hold on to that sock. And it's a pretty effective strategy.
Next week on Medical Dads, we'll talk about rage, how to deal with rage from your wife.
Well, I think there's, with the whole thing of dealing with making sure you're not hoarding and not getting into that trap, you know, it starts with deciding in the first place, should I buy something? No, should I acquire something? When we're buying things, we do try to think about that in my house. So I think about like, is this something that in like a year is going to just be sitting somewhere taking up space? Which is why we don't have all these myriad array of kitchen gadgets.
The problem is sometimes you know what you're getting into, right? When I was buying Shang-Chi number 2, I knew this was not going to go well.
That's right. And that's where it's like things like that. You might want to ask yourself, do I want to buy this or would I rather see if they have it at the library? Would I rather read it at Chapters and then leave it without buying it? Those type of things.
I would say that it is a challenging thing to have to live in 2021 as a dad, right? Or as a parent.
Yeah.
Because our kids are bringing stuff home all the time, right? And especially during the pandemic, you know, like for a lot of us, we like, you know, our kids can't go to the library. We got to buy them books, right? Anything they need to do, we have to obtain it, right? It wasn't for a year and a half, it wasn't that easy to go out and use shared stuff.
Yeah, that's true.
Right? And so now you end up with piles and piles of stuff, right? And what do you do with that, right? And on top of that, you got the digital version of everything.
Yeah.
So you can take a photo of everything. So not only can you, you know, not only can you look at that sock with the hole and just have to make one decision about, you know, should I just throw this in the garbage? Yeah. You might actually think, you know what, this is a really precious sock to me. I take a photo of it before I throw it in the garbage, right? Like our lives are needlessly complicated.
Yeah. I mean, there's a first world problems, right? Problem is I have too much stuff. You know, I think I've said in the past that the human instinct for being a pack rat or for hoarding probably comes from the idea that we first had to eke out our existence in an environment where we didn't know if more stuff is coming tomorrow. You know, you happen to get something useful and valuable, you hold on to that.
As you're saying this, I'm thinking about my buddy who lives across the street, who for some reason seems to own every item that we need, you know, like just randomly. My wife learned to ride a bicycle recently, but she doesn't have a water bottle because she's riding like an older bicycle, right? So these older bicycles don't have those two pre-drilled holes for a water bottle. We rode by, he saw us, he's like, hey, how come you don't have a water bottle? And my wife's like, oh no, you can't fit it onto this bike. This bike doesn't, he's like, hang on a sec. I got exactly what you need. He goes into his house, 5 minutes later comes out. He's got a water bottle holder for a bicycle that just clips onto a bike. It's purposely built for bikes that can't hold water bottles. I'm like, I didn't even know such an item existed, but the fact that that item was at your house unused right across the street from me all this time is amazing.
See, you don't need to be a hoarder. You just not need to have a friend who's a hoarder.
Absolutely.
You know, I remember I was going through one of these phases of like, okay, I really got to clean up my office and commit to throwing away some of these things that are that I've been holding on to since I was a kid that I don't need anymore. And somewhere along the way, I had acquired a Pokemon poster, a poster that had a list of all the original Pokemon on it. And this would have been something that, like, I wasn't even really that young when Pokemon started to become a big thing. So I think I got this. It came in as an insert in a magazine for something else. So I had this. It somehow managed to stay with my papers all this time. And I was saying, all right, I've got kids, but none of them care about Pokemon. And I haven't looked at this poster or used this poster ever since I got it. You know what? I'm throwing this thing away. Went in the garbage. Just straight into the recycling, gone. 2 weeks later, my son comes home from school. I'm really into Pokemon. Can I get some Pokemon cards? Do you have anything related to Pokemon in the house? So, yeah, maybe forget everything we just said about hoarding. Hold on to all that trash.
There is a solution to this. Okay, first of all, just because your son wants more Pokemon stuff doesn't mean that you can't go out and buy it again. Most of these items that we're holding on to, if you really need it again, you can rebuy it, right? This was actually one of the life tips that I got from Marie Kondo in The Art of Tidying Up. You've heard of this book, right?
Yeah.
Basically, one of the things she says is most of the stuff you just don't need, right? If at some point, like 5 years from now, you need this item again, just buy it again, right? Odds are it's not going to happen. You come out way ahead financially if you do it this way, rather than hoarding it all and using up all your surface area, right? And I found that to be a good way of thinking about the problem. Honestly, I've never had to rebuy an item that I already threw. Actually, no, I think I have. There's been a couple items like that, but it's rare. It's very, very rare.
Yeah.
I did have to rebuy The Lord of the Rings, though. I somehow threw that book away, and now I'm thinking about rereading it.
But it's a good point. I mean, even the Pokemon poster thing. You know what? My son has a Pokemon poster in his room, and now he doesn't care as much about that stuff anyway. So, you know, did the world stop turning because I threw away a Pokemon poster? No. And did I utilize that extra space by not having that poster and all the other cluttered papers with it in my office? Yes. So it is maybe a bit of a shameful sign of our modern day affluence.
The issue though with hoarding is it's not really one to do with having a lot of money necessarily, because a lot of times the stuff that people are hoarding is just garbage, right? It doesn't actually cost them that much to obtain.
That's true.
Right? So they're often, you know, with people with a serious hoarding problem, they're actually sifting through other people's garbage and saying, oh, I could take that home, right? So a lot of times it's not just the money aspect. It's just that not being able to let go and not being able to figure out which things have value and which ones don't in a way that's balanced.
Yeah, in a way, people would benefit from just thinking about life in terms of tomorrow your house could burn down and you could lose everything. And if you did, you'd pick up and move on. You know?
Yeah, you'd be okay. Yeah. You'd be okay. Those items, you just have to buy them all again.
That's like the journey is the prize, not the destination.
All right. Well, on that note, stay tuned next week when we talk about cleaning out our desks.
That's right. Because talking broadly about hoarding wasn't enough for us. We need to zoom in next week, desk hoarding. Then after that, medicine cabinets.
I don't know. I knew we should have done an episode on the National Truth and Reconciliation Day instead of this.
We can't even talk about hoarding eloquently, but we think we can take a topic as important as truth and reconciliation and convey that adequately to the audience.
There you go. On that note, we hope you learned something about my sock collection during this episode.
Have a good week, folks. Bye.